All right, so I didn't know I was the first one that was going to be talking, but hello, everybody. How are y'all doing?
Good.
That's great. That's great. That's great. So I heard a lot being said a minute ago, particularly the young person that mentioned there are so many other things to deal with besides HIV, right? One of the things that I've said when I speak during sessions and forums like this is that oftentimes we have a tendency to be so invested in the reduction of viruses, right? We are so invested in viral suppression. And ultimately what we end up doing is we ultimately silo that individual and we make that individual feel like, wow, the only thing that's worth investing in me is not spreading this virus. But at what point do we actually worry about my, what I like to call, personhood? So there's been a lack of investment historically throughout trans communities when it comes to an individual's personhood. And when I say personhood, I mean that individual's total person, from lack of housing to lack of violence prevention, discrimination, so on and so forth. So there's two things that I've said before during these type of forums, right? That there are two things that are constantly overlooked, and that is an individual's personhood and an individual's access to thrive. So often we have these Debbies and these projects that are set up to do research around outcomes and things like that. But honestly, are they really adding to an individual's access to thrive? So when we're done with these 3, 4, 5 year projects, ultimately, what are we leaving this individual with? How have we actually improved this individual's life opposed to, again, being really vested in these measures and being vested in viral suppression? So, I almost feel like I can end on that one, but so I'll give a good example. So I work in Cook County Department of Corrections, and once I did I was just curious, and I asked them, I said, so out of curiosity, what's more important to you right now, HIV or, you know, your hormones? That group of maybe 20 women, 95% of them said hormones were more important. Anybody guess why? Anyone? Just take a shot in the dark. Anyone? No one? Affirming personhood? Anybody? You guys are so smart that you're overlooking the obvious. Why would hormones be more important to a trans woman than HIV meds? That was good. That was really good. But honestly, and again, I think the beautiful thing about privilege is privilege causes us to not actually have to think about these things, which is amazing, right? I wish that no one had to think about these things. So really the reason being is this, because HIV/AIDS is something that may kill me maybe 10, 15, 20 years down the line, is possible. But if I am perceived to be transgender, when I leave from seeing you, I'm going to be killed immediately. So hormones to a trans woman are far more important than HIV/AIDS medications, because again, heteronormativity or cis normativity is survival. So if I am seen as cisgender to the world, then okay, my chances of being discriminated against are less. My chances of being attacked are lessened. My chances of housing discrimination are lessened. My chances of getting, hopefully, what is affirming medical care is greater. So my place, securing a place of safety in the world, mobilizing safely in the world, being perceived as cisgender, allots me a certain privilege that HIV/AIDS medicines aren't going to give me. So ultimately, that is the biggest reason why trans women do feel like HIV/AIDS, I mean, that hormones are more important. And again, that's what I mean by adding to one's personhood, is that we have to begin to think a lot larger than just HIV/AIDS medicines. Does that sound, okay, that's great. Again, this feels so, like, almost common sense to me, to where I'm just kind of like, okay, all right, anything else you guys want to know? Yeah.
Talk about system fatigue.
So a lot of your participants, a lot of your patients that you work with are going to have come through systems that they have survived time and time and time again, whether those systems look like DCFS, whether those systems looked like jail, whether those systems just looked like dealing with yet another provider. And they're going to be tired. You know, they're going to come to you with a certain ambivalence. And along with that system fatigue, no one takes into account the ride that they just endured getting to you, which was fraught with a whole bunch of opposition from individuals who made that ride really, really, really uncomfortable. So again, trans people have survived systems over and over again. And to you, you just look like another individual that just wants to know about me and give me a gift card and just be on my very merry way. So again, that's what I mean by creating things that actually add to an individual's personhood. Because again, a $25 gift card really doesn't add to my personhood. Honestly, and again, with our population who is extremely survey savvy, they are very program savvy, they realize that there is a survey and intervention at every corner, and without me, without these populations that you guys need to meet your scopes, your projects aren't going to be successful. And trust me, they know that. They know that. They very much so know that. So again, that kind of gives you guys the work of what to do. What are you guys going to do? Because trans people right about now are kind of like the newest thing as far as epidemiology is concerned. But again, you guys are coming in on the tail end of all of these previous MSM projects and all these other things that they've been lumped into as well previously. So what are you guys going to do? How are you guys going to continue the longevity of this research when you have trans people who are just kind of like, no, I'm not about to. And what's going to happen also is this, going back to that system fatigue, you're going to put this work onto your peers. You will hold your peers responsible for finding these trans women to get these outcomes. And again, we're tired. We are tired. We are tired of being a part of your projects. That we hear what you're saying. We hear, yes, you know, if we have these outcomes, we'll be able to better serve you. But historically, we haven't seen this. So again, the challenge for you guys today is, what are you going to do? And I know that question is way larger than you, you know, because this comes from the federal on down. So we know that it is way larger than you guys just sitting here. But it's still a real question. It's still a very real question. You know, what are you going to do? So I will share a brief story about me really quickly. So going back to that system fatigue, I can remember being a young trans woman who was having an incredible amount of discomfort abdominally. And I just remember not knowing what was going on, didn't know what the problem was, put it off for a long time. Finally, I go to the doctor, right? Doctor says to me, you know, what's going on today? First and foremost, they ask the big question, when was your last menstrual? Yeah, so I just like rattle off like just something, just say something, just whatever, you know, get past that. So again, I come to the nurse, you know, the nurse asked me the same question, when was your last menstrual? So I'm looking like, okay, this isn't just a secretary, this is a nurse. So I'm asking myself, oh my God, what if every woman on the planet menstruates on the same day? And what if I answer this question like wrong? What if she says, ma'am, there's no way anyone menstruates on the 15th? What game are you playing here? You know, so again, I rattle off something. Obviously, I got it right because she didn't kick me out. Long story short, right? So they're pressing. They're just like, oh, you know, this is really close to your reproductive organs. Let's do a pelvic examination. Me believing it, I'm a pretty smart kid at the time. I'm like, okay, fine. And I begin to think, and I say, wait, she's coming back with a speculum and like the flashlight. And oh my God, there's like no way she can use that. I'm going to get like arrested. So anyway, doctor comes back. The doctor, I disclose to the doctor, hey, you know what? I'm transgender. Like, you cannot do that. Doctor was really cool. Doctor said, you know what, let's get you a barium x-ray. Real simple. Turns out it was really benign. It was nothing that serious. Case in point, all of that trauma that I had previously from dealing with doctors and systems caused me to go around and around and around pondering whether I should even get care for whatever was ailing me. So that's what you're dealing with every day. You're dealing with individuals who are so traumatized and who refuse to go into medical care because of previous systems. So just know that you are holding very fragile individuals in the palm of your hand. Resilient, but very fragile. And I think about that first, do no harm, and just remember that when you're working with this delicate population. And thank y'all for enduring this rather muddled presentation that I'm up early in the morning trying to deliver. But if you're ever in need of a kick butt provider, I'm your person. Thank you.